Welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are really excited you are here with us today. Today we're going to have a discussion of one of my theoretical works called Future Focus Therapy. You are listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM dial. And we are archived. We also now have a YouTube channel sponsored generously by the Arden Counseling Center. And you could look us up on YouTube at the Arden Counseling Center website, which has a bunch of the lectures, and we are putting more and more of the radio shows up. And of course, if you need us for anything or you have questions, for instance, on this show, might bring up a bunch of questions because it's a bit more theoretical. And if you have got any questions, don't hesitate to email me. My direct email is Scott, S-C-O-T-T, at ardentcenter.com. Ardent is ardentcenter.com. Scott at ardentcenter.com. All right, enough of this. So today we've got three guests. Oh, this is so nice today. And I am Dr. Scott Terry. This is Mental Health Matters. Our first guest is...
Hello, Elizabeth Adler.
And you are...
one of Scott's undergraduate interns. And what else do you need to know about me?
Whatever you want to say.
That's it. That's
okay.
Hello, my name is Kyle Fernandes. I'm also one of Scott's undergraduate interns. I work at MUM, and yes.
And Danielle, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Danielle McWilliams. I am one of Scott's graduate interns, and I am very excited to be here.
Okay, full of interns. All right, we're rolling. All right, so today's talk is really a talk about ideas and theories. And one should really listen to the whole program because some parts of this might be a little politically incorrect. Don't think I'm being against anybody because I'm not. I'm an integrative therapist. And what that means is that I look at all theories, all applications of theories, as being useful. I don't believe truly that, let's say, CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy is the best therapy, or that EFT is a great therapy. They're all good. It just depends on the application. Everything in my world depends on application. How am I using it? When am I using it? So when you hear people talk about, oh, this is the best theory in the world, and this is the best tool, and the best this, maybe it is for somebody, or maybe it is for that person at that time. Just like, you know, somebody had some treatment of something, some physical treatment, maybe it was the best treatment for them. That doesn't mean it's the best treatment for you, or maybe it will be, or was in the past, or could be again. But it's not every time. You really need to put together a package. So when I'm talking about future focus therapy, one of my things, I'm not saying it's better or superior or more helpful, theory or application. It's simply about what works for you today. Will this support the future that you're creating for yourself? Because in truth, nothing else matters. It really doesn't matter if this somebody else acknowledges this is the best thing. So we're going to start with a brief overview from everybody's perspective of what future focus therapy is. And then we're going to get an explanation of something called dialectics, or what I call an expansion of that, call my term trialectics. I could hear Elizabeth giggling already because I seem to make up a lot of words. And then I'll give you some examples of what a trialectic is and some differences between what I'm talking about and traditional psychotherapy or some Neo-Freudian approaches or some other ideas of what is current in theoretical work. And then come back to an integrative approach. All right. So does Kyle, why don't you want to jump on in and say a little bit about what you think the future-focused work is?
I think one aspect of future-focused therapy is not getting stuck in what you're doing what happened yesterday or what you're doing now or even what your future is. I think it's about taking action now. And so let's say you get into a car accident and now you have a few choices. You can get out of the car. And by the way, everything that just happened in the car accident is completely fine. No one got hurt. But it's just a slight rear-end accident, maybe at 10 miles an hour, some paint got scratched, and, you know, the police has to be called. It's going to take about a half hour out of your day, and but maybe you're really ticked off, and you get out of your car, and, you know, you have a couple options. You can punch whoever it was in their face, whoever hit you, or you can, you know, just be nice, and or you can not say anything at all, and you have a bunch of options. But which option is going to support your future? Which option, which option are you going to try right now that's going to support your future? Because if you take, you know, one option, like punching the person in the face, that'll support a future in prison. But if you try and being nice and friendly and authentic and understanding that, you know, maybe the person didn't go out of their way to smash into you, then that'll support a different future.
Okay.
Another aspect that seems to go along with future-focused therapy is the idea of being able to sort of zoom out of your experience and understand it in a larger context. So Scott talks a lot about that experience of going beyond the emotions that you're experiencing in a given moment, going beyond the story that you tell yourself and others about your life and who you are and what's happened to you, and understanding the larger systems at play in your life so that you understand exactly how to move forward.
Excellent. Danielle, what's your understanding of what I've been talking about?
So I think kind of similar to what Elizabeth was just saying with the looking at the bigger picture of life, you know, the thing that about future-focused, what I've really grasped is that, like, it's a journey, and there's really no end to that journey. And so, you know, when people, an example would be people get into relationships, and they think, oh, they're looking for marriage and kids or whatever it may be, but those are not the end point. And so the future focus just brings everything back to that bigger picture of life and this journey that every individual is on. It doesn't neglect that things have happened in our past. It just allows us to address those things in a sense of how do they tie into the bigger picture and where we are trying to be and what we are trying to create for ourselves.
So, Danielle, we've talked a number of times about traditional therapy and what some of the ideas that I'm proposing are a little bit different than traditional therapy. Mm-hmm. When we think of traditional therapy, we think of a lot of focus on either emotion or our thoughts or simply what has been, what happened. When you were a kid, you know, this happened. Tell me about what happened when you were a kid. Or another thing that often happens in therapy, what's the old joke? How does that make you feel, right? So I'm really sad. Great. How does that make you feel to feel sad? Well, it makes me feel really sad to feel sad. Okay. So how does that make you feel sad about feeling sad? You can go crazy with that. Or, you know, how does it feel to feel angry? Well, I feel like hitting you. Well, how does that make you feel to feel like wanting to hit me? Well, I'm going to get up right now and hit you. Maybe there's a better way than what I'm suggesting is sometimes if you're lost in your emotions, being more in your emotions doesn't get you out of your emotions. It keeps you stuck in your emotions. Sometimes if you're lost in your thoughts, being more in your thoughts doesn't get you out of your thoughts. So we need to get a different avenue, a different way of going about this. And traditional therapy, for instance, focusing, let's say, on the past, that's one aspect of one therapy, like a neo-Freudian approach, it becomes very difficult to do because if I'm thinking about the past all the time, sometimes it gets me lost in that past and doesn't allow me to create a new future for myself, a new way of looking at things, of seeing things, of acting out. How would you say it, Danielle?
I agree. I think when people get so focused on the past, you might have an individual that comes in and they have all of this trauma, and it's all about the trauma, 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 and they can't move on from it, and it's because they get so stuck in the questions of, you know, this happened to me, why did it happen to me, how come it happened to me, and they want to address all of these questions surrounding this past issue, and it prevents them from being able to see their life as a bigger picture, see everything as a journey. Kind of like I mentioned before, it's we're not, you know, the future focused isn't to, you know, it's not saying, oh, what's happened in your life isn't important. It's just saying that your life is a journey and there's more to it, and that this was just a piece of it, and now we're going to move forward from it.
Mm. Excellent.
And so are we saying that the past doesn't matter, or we disregard the past and that anything that happened to you doesn't matter, now we're just focusing on right now and forget everything that happened to you, suck it up?
Absolutely not. Clearly not. What I'm saying, we're never in denial ever about what has happened. Mm. And that's the first thing that happens to people is they want to cover it up. People aren't afraid. Like, I used to do documentaries in the elderly, and I've said before, people were never afraid of dying. What they're afraid of is the pain. Mm. And I think it's the same about when we think about our past. We're not afraid so much of, you know, what has been. It's just sort of feeling that pain that we had and reliving that pain. Except when we do a lot of work on refocusing of the past, a lot of times we're stuck in that pain. Mm. We're not getting out of it. We're almost teaching ourselves to numb to that pain, right, like with an exposure therapy. A lot of times what we're doing is teaching ourselves how to numb to that pain instead of getting past it to a new stage. Mm-hmm.
And I think, too, with the future focus, what it does, in a sense, is you're not disregarding what has happened in the past, but rather you're coming more to terms, and it's more of an acceptance. And it's like this piece of, yes, this happened in my life, it's in the past, and now I can move on and create something more meaningful for myself, as opposed to numbing it and not really feeling the pain anymore. This is more of an approach to help you accept it and move on from it.
And what we're looking at is creating that future reality that we could start living today. So we're not living in the past, and we're not really living in the future. We're taking like a goal. If we think about setting a goal, how do we actually start living that today? How do we start developing that so that we can move into something and create a new future for ourselves, as opposed to reliving the past and then trying to change who we are based upon what we were, and always, always, always getting stuck in what we were. I don't know if that makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, great. So you are listening to KRUU 100.1 on your FM. We're listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. And today we're talking about future focus theory, which is one of my theoretical, one small aspect of a larger theoretical construct I've developed. So let me give you three examples of this. A simple one, if we think about what dialectics is. So dialectic, Hegelian dialectics, or an advanced version of that, somebody, a guy named Riegel, who did, a German philosopher, did some great work. No one's ever going to look at that, and I know I'm being utterly abstract here and obscure. Okay, so dialectics is, there's something called thesis, antithesis, and synthesis. Thesis is really that present state. Who am I? What am I identifying? My antithesis is my opposite, and my synthesis is what I pull together. Okay, so if I think about dieting, let's take something innocuous. I'm dieting. All right, so not a correct word. I'm using lots of incorrect words. You keep laughing at me. All right, so.
That was a correct word.
No, it was the correct word. It was just that I don't necessarily think that dieting is innocuous.
All right. I could accept that. All right, so dieting, if we think about that, my thesis is I'm overweight and I need to change my body.
Right.
Okay. My antithesis is I'm going to struggle with it. I'm going to join Weight Watchers. I'm going to do Herbalife. I'm going to do one of a million different kinds of ways to do something to lose weight.
Right.
And then my synthesis is after I've struggled, okay, I've now lost 20 pounds.
Right.
Okay, congratulations. Mm-hmm. The problem is, that's the synthesis, what's changed? Why won't it work? Why does it never work? What is it based upon? Why doesn't dieting work?
Well, it's I know your answer because we've talked about this before. I think that you would say that it's an issue of the fact that diets are usually completely dependent upon willpower, and people's willpower is bound to give up at a certain point. So if you're engaging in a sort of all or nothing thinking where you have to be following these rules and then you slip up, it's just, it feels like an invitation to give up the whole thing.
Yes. That would be my thing. Danielle, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, and a lot of times, like, the issue with diets themselves, they're more of a temporary solution. You know, if you were to want to keep the weight off long term, it goes back to there needs to be kind of lifestyle.
Yes.
There's different lifestyle changes. And when you just do a diet, you're not necessarily changing the lifestyle. You're just maybe cutting out sugar for however amount of time until you lose the weight.
Exactly. And so the lifestyle, if we think about the future focus, so let's move past the dialectical synthesis, the thesis, antithesis, synthesis, and go, what if I create a new thesis? A new thesis. I'm creating a new system now. In this new system, I'm not worried about trying to lose weight. I'm going to be a healthy guy. I have a new paradigm, a new way of looking at the world. I'm a healthy guy. What do healthy guys do? They eat a certain way. They exercise a certain way. They get enough sleep so that their body could regenerate. They take care of themselves and have a lifestyle that means that they're being healthy. If I'm starting from that future thesis, that future premise, then it becomes easy to come back to my current reality. I forget about that I'm 20 pounds overweight. I'm just going to start being that healthy guy. If I'm that healthy guy and I start getting my mindset wrapped around that, then it becomes easy to just, oh, okay, it's not about a choice of do I drink this or drink that. It's what does a healthy guy do? This is who I am, right? So it's a different kind of way of looking at it.
It's like instead of getting, you know, two burgers at McDonald's, you just get one burger at McDonald's.
No, I'm just joking. It's because I'm a healthy guy. Do healthy guys eat burgers at McDonald's? That's not the kind of guy I am.
I'm going to get diet soda instead.
No, because a healthy guy doesn't drink soda because soda doesn't work for you.
But it's organic soda.
Could be.
I think Kyle's starting to now get into more of a harm reduction.
Well, you'll have to explain what that is.
just real quick, the soda has a lot of carbs, even though it's a typically organic soda still have a lot of carbs. And you rationalize and you say, oh, well, it's healthy because it's organic. Well, okay, what is the content in it? How many carbs does it have still? It's just because it's organic doesn't mean that it's necessarily healthy.
Exactly. And I think that's the bigger point that's always good to make. You know, it's like I'm now having organic bread instead of regular carbs. Well, that's great, except if you're still having organic bread that's basic bread, you're still having a lot of carbs, sugars, simple sugars that are broken down. And so it's still going to be in your system. And if you're active to carbs, you're celiacs, or you're just simply carbs don't work for you, which they don't for a lot of people, then, you know, you're still haven't changed the basic system. Okay, let's get into something a little bit more difficult here and a bit more traumatic, a bit more controversial. So my thesis is I'm an alcoholic. My antithesis is I am going to struggle with that alcoholism. I'm going to struggle with that side of myself, that shadow side that's destructive. And I'm going to come up with a new synthesis after going to, and controversial, I'll just say, I found Jesus, I found 12-step, I found some answer out there in the world, some external answer to give me validation enough to get me to stop drinking. None of those things are bad. They are all certainly could be wonderful things. Finding religion or spirituality or 12-step movement or whatever it is can be a wonderful thing. The problem is that for most people, all I've done is stop drinking. What haven't I done? Right?
Well, you haven't developed this concept, and you're not really doing for your... It's an extrinsic value instead of an intrinsic value. You haven't internalized this, the self that you want to create, that now you're a healthy person, and so you do this. It's well, now I'm with this outside program, this outside community, and so I'm living healthy. And that's it can be part of a greater solution, but it can't be the whole central concept of the solution, because everyone can't be with you 24/7.
Well, and because you need to take it on yourself. Yeah.
It's also true that any kind of addiction is usually part of a larger tendency or a larger problem. So you haven't addressed whatever the causes may be of that particular addiction, and you also haven't addressed your own tendency to become addicted. So it might end up coming out in different ways, or the causes of that, of the behavior might end up creating other problems that have nothing to do with addiction.
Or I've stopped drinking, but I'm still an addict.
Right.
So therefore, you know, I might stop drinking and I might just be a dry drunk, as they say, an angry dry drunk, or I could be addicted to 12 other things. And yes, the drinking's incredibly destructive, but I might pick up 12 other bad habits, or I might have that same addictive pattern and never address what was behind it and what's happened to the gray matter in my brain from drinking. And so I've never changed the brain patterns. I've never trained the behaviors. I've never changed my thoughts, my feelings, my existential sense of who I am, or even my spiritual. And yes, I could have addressed some of that, all of that. I could have addressed some of that within myself, but not how I address it with others. But I haven't changed who I am. The point is, how do I escape the system that I've been trapped in so I'm no longer an addict? I'm no longer that person. I am who I am now creating myself to be. Let's start with something. Let's go into now something even more controversial. So let's say a terrible thing happens. The thesis is I've been traumatized in a very bad way. And we've all had traumas in our lives. And we are all hurting, by the way. So never be afraid of that. We acknowledge that. So I've had trauma. And now that's my thesis. My antithesis is I'm going to struggle with that and I'm going to seek some help, which is great. And then my synthesis that I come to, what's the end result of you coming to terms with being a victim in life?
You're able to move forward.
And be a what?
What's survivor.
Survivor. And that's a wonderful thing, except what it leaves you lacking is one thing. It's still pointing a finger back at the past, who I was. So I'm always a victim then. If I'm a survivor, it means that in my head I'm also always a victim. And I've succumbed being a victim to be a survivor. But I'm still my reference point. Who I am is always in reference to this terrible thing. I'm not in denial about that terrible thing. I'm saying now there's another stage past being a survivor. How do we get there? how do we create this new phase where I'm not just a survivor, but I've moved past that state of what has been into I'm not denying what was there, but I'm so busy creating this new future, which is more positive, more powerful, more meaningful, more intrinsically valuable. That's where my power is. Not denying what was. It has nothing to do with not healing it. Of course we're healing what was. But it's also focused on what we can create now and having grown and learned from that trauma. And trauma could be a wonderful thing, as I've said in the past, if we could learn how to take advantage of it and grow from it. Every bad experience, dieting and failing, you know, or being drinking and failing and succeeding, and, you know, and the terms that we come to in our lives, the back and forth, the thesis and antithesis of our lives, and how we could grow and learn to create a new future and to focus on that.
What would you say about people who are inspired by their traumas to go into some sort of advocacy work for people who have had similar traumas or something to that effect? People who use their traumas as a springboard for creating something in the world to help others in similar situations. Do you feel like those people's lives, I think, are actually very much defined by the trauma that occurred. I mean, that trauma is the basis of what they have formed their lives around, but they may have fully recovered. And do you feel that they haven't, that people in who are doing that kind of work haven't actually passed the survivor stage? Or do you think that it's possible that there are people who are, you know, fully thriving and have reached the stage you're talking about who are doing that kind of work?
That's a wonderful question. And it's something I encountered when I was a professor, where I had lots of students, and some of the students hadn't healed from their past. And they're trying to get their healing. If you're trying to get your healings done through somebody else, then you're not quite done with your journey, and you're not quite clean enough to help somebody. If you've worked on yourself, and yes, you've grown and learned from your experience, then yes, you could be a wonderful asset to somebody if you're not trapped or triggered by their experience. So if I've had an eating disorder and I am now part of ANED, a wonderful group that's now supporting people, a peer-to-peer support group that's supporting people with eating disorders. If I not only don't have an eating disorder, but I have familiarity with that experience, but I'm not beholden to my past by it, so I can grow in who I am, and because I'm independent and growing, that yes, I can help others, and if they're struggling, it's not my struggle, it's their struggle. Ours is ours, theirs is theirs, having boundaries.
And I think, too, it goes into then that question of, you know, when people, so Elizabeth, kind of like what you were saying, you know, trauma survivors and they haven't moved past that stage, it goes back to asking them, too, you know, why are you going into this work? Are you doing it because it's for you, or are you genuinely doing it for other people?
Lovely.
I think if people go in and they're like, well, I'm doing this for myself because I've experienced it and now I want to help people, there's a lot of focus on that person, and it may mean that they haven't necessarily completed their journey, or they're still on their journey and they're not at a place yet where they're ready to help other people.
And you can still help people even though you're not necessarily ready for that to be completely from the inside. And if you're helping people right now and you're not completely healed, then that's great that you're helping people. It's just what we're working towards.
Absolutely. So we're out of time. Thank you, all three of you have been fantastic. Elizabeth, Kyle, Daniela.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're gonna revisit this subject. Elizabeth has a wonderful question that we're gonna ask in a future episode about
future focused therapy for those whose futures are limited.
Absolutely. Thank you, everyone. KRUU 100.1 in your FM dial. Mental Health Matters. Bye.
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 Bye.